Tape 3, Side 1. Pittsburgh Section, National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History 2. My name is Mildred J. Menlo, and with my partner, Ruth Weiner, we are interviewing Mr. Irvin Goldberg. Will you continue?
Yes, I was saying that there may be many instances where the foundation identifies programs or services that should be created that don't exist, and they could go to either Montefiore board or Presbyterian board and say we'd like to see these programs created, and we're willing to fund them. So that I think the potential for expanding the services to the Jewish community and the general community are enhanced greatly. You were asking me how did this all come about, and what I was saying was that the hospital had a value of over $200 million as a result of everything that happened over the last 25 or 30 years. And what happened was that a couple of years ago, sat down with Presbyterian Hospital to establish whether there were programs and services that we could create at Montefiore that would expand the hospital's bed use and increase its financial capacity to continue to carry on programs because of the empty beds and things that existed. Presbyterian pointed out that it had a need for the very same programs and that we would be competing for these programs, and they didn't feel that they were really in a position to assist us because they, in effect, wanted the programs themselves. And by the way, this is an ongoing competitiveness that existed for the last 25 or 30 years. Unfortunately, from time to time, we were able to achieve programs, notwithstanding the fact that there were some people in the university that really wanted the programs at Presbyterian rather than Montefiore. But in any event, when we discussed the dilemma that we were in of the fact that we both wanted programs, the thought arose that Presbyterian Hospital was in the phases of building a new $200 million patient tower. And the thought was raised that if they didn't build the tower and instead began to use the facilities of Montefiore Hospital, that one, it would enhance the use of the hospital, which we wanted, and two, it would avoid their necessity for building a $200 million tower, for which they had already borrowed money to do this. So then it became clear that then if they acquired the hospital under the right set of conditions, that everybody could benefit. It would be a win-win situation. So what they agreed to do was to take over the hospital's bond indebtedness through the hospital of $70-some million, and to create a foundation of $75 million. So in effect, they were acquiring the hospital for like $145 or $150 million. Instead of $200 million, plus the fact they wouldn't have to wait 3 or 4 years for this building to be erected. They would have immediate access to the facilities of the hospital. But Montefiore's board, who were agreeable to that, also wanted to be sure that in doing that, that the programs that served the Jewish community would continue, and that the Jewish physicians who had practiced at the hospital would continue to be able to practice. And so Presbyterian in this agreement agreed, one, that all of the programs that we currently had and in the future would continue, and secondly, that the Jewish physicians would continue to be able to practice and that their appointments could not be removed excepting for cause. And so in effect, they guaranteed the continuation of Montefiore. They gained access to lots of empty beds at Montefiore, and they avoided building a $200 million tower. So it was very, very serendipitous that all this happened, because had it not happened when it happened, and had they begun the real construction of the tower, it would have been too late for all of this to occur. It was a remarkable coincidence of timing.
All Are they utilizing the beds in the operating rooms?
Yes, they've begun to do that. For instance, they were getting ready to build a new surgical center, ambulatory surgical center. Well, when they saw ours, which had been built only a few years ago, it was a magnificent facility, and really was built to be three or four times as large as our volume was at that time, because that's where all surgery is going. When they saw that, they dropped their plans to build a new facility and immediately commenced to use the ambulatory care facility, surgery facility at Montefiore. They've also begun, you may have noticed in the newspapers recently, that they have begun to expand the cardiology and cardiac surgery programs in the university. And so they established a Pittsburgh Heart Institute.
At Montefiore.
At first it was to go to Presbyterian, but with this new development, they've placed it at Montefiore. The Pittsburgh Cancer Institute, of which we're a member, has a number of programs. We participate in that program. They've begun to site some additional programs at Montefiore. So the long and the short of it is, although it's almost like a merger, it's not quite. The board of the foundation, which is the board of the old hospital, names two-thirds of the new hospital's board, and Presbyterian names one-third. There are assurances that the chairman of the board and the vice chairman of the board will continue to be Jewish, so that the Jewishness of the hospital, to the extent possible, has been preserved. As you know, the hospital has just entered into a Jewish chaplaincy program.
I wanted to ask you about that.
Yes.
The Ladies' Hospital Aid has just presented that.
Right.
They will support.
Right, they're going to
fund Jewish chaplaincy. How important do you think that is?
I'm pausing because I know it's important, but I want to be sure that I express it the right way. At one time, Jewish patients at Montefiore, most of the Jewish community got their medical and surgical services at Montefiore, and the Jewish clergy in the various temples and synagogues saw their own congregants and were able to take care of the spiritual and religious needs of Jewish patients. With two things, desegregation, if I can call it that, and the proliferation of high technology, that changed dramatically. First of all, there are Jewish patients all over town, in the suburbs and the other hospitals, etc., etc. Secondly, the initiation of the open heart surgery programs, the liver transplant programs, the bone marrow transplant programs, and a number of these, the Pittsburgh Cancer Institute cancer programs, have attracted large numbers of Jewish patients from all over the country because they come here for these services, whether it's Starzl or others. They've come to Presbyterian and now, in many instances, Montefiore for bone marrow transplantation. So they don't have their own rabbis. And I guess from the standpoint of the rabbinic fellowship, who we met with repeatedly, their point was that the numbers had reached that stage, and the Veterans Administration Hospital is also a part of all of them, that they just didn't have sufficient time to take care of the needs of all of the Jewish patients who were not from this community. So part of the chaplaincy program's goals was to have a full-time, or either a part-time or a full-time, rabbi who could make visitations to these patients wherever they were and to see them on a regular basis. And so many of them were from out of town, including children, of course, at Children's Hospital. So I think that the need is there, and it's grown greater and greater as Pittsburgh has become a center for attracting people from At one time, the need was not as great. We had a very defined Jewish community, and our own rabbis took care of their congregation. The ladies were interested in doing it, I'm sure, because they felt it was necessary, and it's their way of helping to provide services to the Jewish community. As you know, they are now affiliated with, still affiliated with Montefiore, but they have the freedom to use their funds in whatever way they wish.
They do not have to turn them over to
mine. No, they never really had to. They always did because they were organized under the hospital.
Well, it's no longer the Montefiore Ladies Hospital Aid Society.
They changed their name for that purpose, so they really can use their funds anywhere.
In the Jewish community.
Sure, they could use them at Riverview. They could take care of Jews at Shadyside or whatever. I suppose if a hospital starts up a program that is specific to the Jewish community, if they wanted to, they could support the program at another hospital. But in any event, I think that the ladies, they founded the hospital 10 years before the hospital began. And they're going to continue the relationship. I understand that they intend to continue to initiate relationships at Presbyterian as well as at Riverview. So I see this as a continuation. I see them getting stronger. How successful? Well, they've always had a successful dance, and it's going to be interesting to me to see how this year's dance goes, because this would be the first time that it's not so directly connected.
It certainly has been a period of change and development. Unfortunately, a large segment of the Jewish population in Pittsburgh has no knowledge of the whys and the wherefores. And I find that this large segment is highly critical of what has happened. And that is why this is all very interesting.
I should point out two things. In 1953, Lois Michaels, Dr. Michaels' wife, Milton Michaels' wife, who was a past president of the Ladies' Hospital Aid Society, wrote a history of Montefiore Hospital that went back to its inception and went up until, as I recall, 1953 or 1954. I recently had a discussion with a couple of our physicians about the need to update that history. I've seriously considered trying to do that, but it would be a very demanding, time-consuming job. And at some point, I probably will do it. I may need to go to the hospital's foundation to find out if they're willing to support that in some way, because it will take an awful lot of research. And there are archives and there are records, etc., etc. So I think it would be important, because I think it's important that the Jewish community recognize, where Montefiore is and what's happened and how it can benefit from what has happened. For me, I guess I'd like to make one last comment with regard to me. Hospital administrators turn over very quickly in the healthcare field. They don't stay very long. It's a very difficult, trying field. And there aren't too many hospital administrators who have long tenure. For me professionally, although I'm a certified public accountant and practice accounting before I went into the hospital field, my entire professional career, for all intents and purposes, has been spent in Montefiore Hospital. I was in Montefiore Hospital for 39 years. That's a whole professional career. 10 years in a different capacity, 28 or 29 years as the executive director. So my whole life has been bound up for all intents and purposes in one of your hospitals. That's been very rewarding for me from the standpoint of seeing this small Jewish teaching hospital grow to a point where it was so accepted by academia, the university, and the medical school, that they were willing to buy. I mean, that in itself says something for what we finally achieved, because you don't usually buy something unless you respect it. And I think that it's a tribute to the community, and certainly to the medical staff, the Jewish physicians in the community, that they were able to lift Montefiore to that point in time where it was so widely accepted and acknowledged. And I would say that the hospital does millions of dollars of research. Many of its full-time faculty are widely recognized both nationally and internationally. And it's unfortunate that the community doesn't recognize those aspects of Montefiore Hospital. I think it looks on the hospital as a hospital, whereas there are three or four major dimensions of Montefiore that make it what it is. It's a superb teaching facility that teaches half of the medical students in the medical school. It trains literally hundreds of physicians and nurses and other paraprofessionals. It's a superb research facility. It has 45,000 square feet of research facilities, animal facilities, and has a staff of almost 100 full-time physicians, as well as maybe another 200 laboratory technicians and research technicians who are carrying on research that's published in all of the leading academic journals, both in this country and abroad. And I think to that extent, the hospital has not done an adequate job of letting the community know what kind of it is.
My feelings.
So I think I've exhausted myself.
Wonderful. This is such vital information, Mr. Goldberg. And as I say, I'm in the community a great deal. I hear these discussions, and it is amazing to me the lack of information.
Well, I agree, because I'm in the community, and most of the time, if I'm at some social function, I'm explaining what's going on. But I have to say that, I grew up, as I told you, in Pittsburgh, and I literally grew up within a mile of the hospital, which is unusual also. And it's been a matter of personal pride to me to see Montefiore become what it has become. So thank you for listening, and I think now that I've done it, I appreciate the opportunity to put it down. I think it, in its own way, it's going to stimulate me to see whether there is in some way updating the history of the hospital and perhaps even publishing it.
Mr. Goldberg, what we can do, if it will help you, when you start to do this, you would like copies of these tapes. We can see that you get them.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you very much for all of your time.
Now you have a cup of coffee.
Is it decaffeinated?
That kind of coffee.